Shavua Tov, today's daf in Masechet Sota, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin, and we're holding right at the top of the daf, at the Hilik and Mishnah. So, Bala Lichtovet HaMegillah. So now, okay, we're talked about all of the dinim of the Mincha. Now, let's go back to how it is that we actually write the Megillah. Me'ezim HaKom HuKotev. So where exactly does he start writing from? Because, I mean, it's a little bit confusing, since the list of the things that he's supposed to do includes the tzivoy to do it, right? So do we write the tzivoy to do it also as part of the Megillah? Because, I mean, it's sort of self-referential. It also includes the woman saying at the end, Ve'omra isha amen amen. Do we write at the end of the Megillah, do we include those words, V'amra Isha Amen Amen, or is the only thing that we're supposed to write the actual olot that were meant to be applied to her? So we have a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. So basically, according to Rabbi Meir, which is our first shita over here, we start with the pasuk of V'hishbiya Otah HaKohen. So we write those words, V'hishbiya Otah HaKohen, V'amar El HaIsha. Imlo shachav ishotach, vimlo satituma tachatishech, hinaki mime hamayim hamaorim ha'ele. Now, this is a little bit strange because this is not an Allah. This is telling her that no, she should not be hurt by these waters, right? Hinaki. However, it's certainly true that the implications are that, okay, if you didn't sleep with this guy, so then this water won't harm you. But if you did, then this water will harm you. So the question is, do we include that? So Rabbi Meir says, yes, we actually do. We include that. And you continue straight through, going on through the next pasuk, V'at ki satit tachat ishech, v'chinit meit, v'yiten ishpacha shechavto, mibal adei ishech. So then, what happens? Now, here we have a very strange thing, because the pasuk continues on, instead of saying, and if you did, then this water will harm you, it repeats, V'ishbia HaKohen et ha'isha b'shvuat ha'Allah. I mean, even though it said before, V'ishbia Otah HaKohen, right? So it repeats those words. Should we write that part again? V'ishbia HaKohen et ha'isha b'shvuat ha'Allah v'yamar HaKohen le'isha? Or do we skip that little piece and just continue on with the actual part of the pasuk that is the next pasuk, which talks about what will happen to you? Namely, that the Yiter Hashem Otach La'alav L'Shvuah B'toch HaMech B'teit Hashem Et Yerechech Nofelet V'et Bitnech Tzava Uvo HaMayim HaMa'orim HaEle B'me'ayach L'atzbot Baten V'lan Tuyarech. And then it says, V'amra Isha Amen Amen. So Rabbi Meir says, skip that part. Eino kotev ishbia kohen et ha'isha. Doesn't make sense to write the next part, because pasuk sort of ends at a hanging, right? V'at ki satit tachat ishech, v'chinit meit, v'yitein ish bachet shchofto mibaladei ishech. Yeah. Okay, hold on for a minute. V'ishbia kohen ota, and when you hear what the kohen will say, then you're going to know what's going to happen to her. But those words, Yishbiya Kohen Ota, is an interruption. This is Rabbi Meir, we don't write that. So then we just go directly to the continuation of what will happen, Yiten Hashem Otach, La'alav L'Shvuah, and so on. And then we go straight through, and we get up to the words, V'amra Ha'isha, Amen, Amen. We don't write that. V'eino kotev V'amra Ha'isha, Amen, Amen, because that's not part of what you're she's supposed to be swallowing, so to speak. That's part of what she's supposed to be doing. So we don't say anything other than the actual olos and klolos, other than the introduction. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. You're not mafsik in the middle of the pasuk. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, once you started writing, so then you continue on and you write that entire pasuk. So even though you say again, Vishbiya Kohen, that's fine. You include that also. And not only that, but you go straight to the end, and even the Amra Isha, Amen, Amen. So according to him, basically, you write everything from the beginning of the Vishbe HaKoinota all the way through to Amen. That's Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw before, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds the least you write. So he says, actually, the only thing that you write, Kol Atzmo Eino Kotev, Ela Yiten Hashem Otach La'ala L'Shvu'ah, Uvo Amayim Amorim Ela B'Meyayich, Eino Kotev Amrei Sham Eino Me. So the whole first part, which is basically saying that the water should not harm you in the event that you didn't actually be nitmeit, well, why should we write that? That's saying what doesn't happen to her. Now we're going to see this is not Svaras, and that actually it's a question of how to be Derish the Pasuk. But Lamaisa, what he's saying is that the only meaning of the Mayim HaMa'orim is it has the klalot. Well, that's the klalot. Yitein Hashem Otach La'ala L'Shvu'ah. And we certainly are not going to write V'amra Yisha Amin Amin. Now, what's Gufa the Machlok is based on, says the Gemara, V'mayka B'flegei. It says, V'katav et halot ha'ele ha'kohen b'sefer. So now that's the mitzvah. Halot ha'ele ha'kohen b'sefer. That follows the Amra Ha'isha, Amen Amen. So referring back to what we just read, V'katav halot ha'ele, what does it mean when it says ha'alot ha'ele? So Rabbi Meir says, look, the word alot, that means the alot, which was basically the entire thing that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is what it writes, the alot. And the alot are only the Yitena Shemot Tachlala L'Shvu'a Uvo Amayim Amorim Ha'ela B'Meyayich Litzpot Batim Lan Pil Yarech. If it would only have said alot, I would have agreed with Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we write. But when it goes ahead and it says Ha'alot, then Ha'alot is being marbe with the extra hay, which is unnecessary. So that is marbe the klalot that are just learned out by implication. Meaning that first pasuk that says, if you didn't do anything wrong, then you won't suffer, which implies, but if you did, you will suffer. That is also alot by implication. So the extra hay comes to be marbe, the alot by implication. Fine. So that's marbe klalot about machmat brachot. Now, when it says Eile, okay, Eile is always a miyut. These and not others. So what would be the others that we might include? Well, remember that in the whole Pasuk by the Tochacha, so it says over there all those terrible things that will happen to you, and then it says afterwards, V'yabash amot ivrei ha'alah hazod, and v'yitparech b'lvavol omar, etc., etc. As you see that the Torah refers to all of the curses in Kitavo, which is the Tochacha, as Allah. Okay, so then if the Torah says write the Allah, so I would have thought that we write not only the Megillah of the Sotah, but we write the Allot that are in the Sefer Torah, which means that we would write the Tochacha to her. Therefore, it says no, Davka, to write the Eile, meaning the ones that I just mentioned to you over here in Parsha Sota, here in Bamidbar. But I'm not including the idea of the klolos in Mishnah Torah, which is the Tochacha. And then when it says Ha'ele, that's coming to be Memayit, also the Tzavaot. Don't include what the Kohen should do, because that's not the Alot. And don't include the Kabbalot Amen, because that's not the alot. So therefore, I'm excluding those things that Rabbi Yosi doesn't include. Rabbi Yosi says, listen, I agree with you, okay? Partially. Now, you'll notice, by the way, an interesting thing, that the first hey is coming dafka to include, because it's coming to include the implication, klolot. And the second hey is coming to exclude, which is a little bit strange. Is it an inclusion A or is it an exclusion? Not the Gemara is going to ask. But forgetting about that, what does Rabbi Yosi do with this? So Rabbi Yosi says, listen, I basically agree with the first things that you said, right? And I hold that, yes, we'll write the implications, which is the beginning, and we'll write the alot, and we will not write the alot in Mishneh Torah. I agree with you about everything. The one thing that I disagree with is the hey. I hold that the word hey is a ribui, and it's not a miut. So you use the last hey ayla you use to tell me that I'm going to exclude the tzavaot, and therefore don't write the words that the kohen should be mashbia, because that's just a tzivui, and don't write the Kabbalah of amen ve'amen. I'm saying adarabah. Hey is always a ribui, and therefore the hey is coming to be marba. What you said, it's coming to be mamayet. It is l'rabot atzavot kabbalot, which basically means I end up agreeing with Rabbi Meir as to what is included, agreeing with Rabbi Meir as to the exclusion of the tochacha, because that Rabbi Meir also darshened as the exclusion from Eila. But I hold that the ha is coming to include the tzivui in the Kabbalah. Rabbi Meir, however, he doesn't agree to the word es being a ribui. And therefore, I'm telling you that the es, what you said, would be memuat from the hay. The es shows me that that's not true. And I'm going to be marbe from that, the ktavaot of the kabbalot, whereas Rabbi Meir all over doesn't go to es to be marbe. Because of that, he takes the hay in that case, which we'll ask in a moment, why that hay is to be mamaya, just because he doesn't hold of the S, he could still use the hay in the same way he used the original hay, we'll talk about. But the S is not derish. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, forget about the S. All of the hays are mi'utim. So here's the way I would learn, okay? Alot means the alot mamash. Ha'alot, that's a miut. And therefore, what you said, Rabbi Meir, and you said, Rabbi Yossi, that the hay is coming to include the implications at the beginning about what should not happen to you, I say, on the contrary, the hay is coming to exclude. So therefore, it's memayet eklalot about machmat aprachot, and the opening pasuk is not included. Eile, that is clearly a miut. So that's memayet eklalot in Mishneh Torah. But the second hay, I hold, is also a miut. And the ha'ele is coming to be memayet tzavaot ve'kabbalot. And I'm not darshaning the etz like Rabbi Yossi, which would force me to change the ha'ele. And because of that, I agree with everything that you say, except that I use the hay as a miut instead of as a ribui. And therefore, we're excluding the tzavaot and the kabbalot like Rabbi Meir. We're being memayit, the klalos of Mishneh Torah, like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and the original hay that you said includes the first pasuk, I say adarabah, excludes the first pasuk. So wait a minute, says the Gemara. I mean, that's more consistent, isn't it? Because Rabbi Meir was using one hay to be marbe, and one hay to be memayit. Isn't that weird? The first hay, he said, comes to include the implications of the opening of the pasuk. The second hay comes to exclude the tzavaot and the kabbalot of amen amen. Whereas at least what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is consistent all the way. So how is it that maishna hay hay the marbe be? So the hay about the ha'alot that he uses to be marbe the original alot that are just there by implications. And the second hay of the ele that he uses to be mamayet. Well, obviously, if the hay is part of a ribui, it broadens the ribui. And if a hay is part of a miut, it broadens the miut. So Rabbi Meir is also consistent. But there's a big problem over here. Because remember that Rabbi Meir's shita all over that we've had is that we don't say michlalav atashomeyahein, which gufa is the reason for the need for the Tanai Kafur. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to say beferish that, but if you don't, then this is what the din will be. So if that's the case here too, what do you mean? the klolos by implications. There are no klolos by implications. Because if you don't hold of implications, then when the pasuk says nothing will happen to you if you didn't do anything, it does not mean that you can be medayik from that, but something will happen to you if you did. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is being inconsistent with his own shita. How can I use it to be marbe klolot that according to him are not klolot? Omer Rabbi Tanchum, it's not the implication. Sorry. It's actually the limud that the hay is coming to tell me how it is that I should read the first pasuk. So even though the first pasuk says, Inaki, so you should not be affected by any of these things. You should be clean from what you did, right? Inaki, mimei hamorim, hamorim ha'ele. However, the hay, which is marba, is add hinaki to the words vi'ad ki satit, which would mean hinaki. It doesn't say hinaki with a yud. It leaves out the yud. So therefore, we could interchange hey and chet because of the hey, the extra hey, which is now telling me to use the first, what appears to be the first non-klolot, read it hinaki, and then they will too be a second set of klolot. So because of that, it's not that he's learning Michlal Avatashomeyahein, he's learning Hinaki because of the hay to be Hinaki, and therefore it's not implicit. It's actually explicit. So it works out very well. Doresh Rabbi Akiva. Ish v'isha, if they are Zoiche, and they have a relationship that is Ne'emon, and that's trustworthy between them, so then Shechina b'nehem. So then they have the yud of the ish and the hey of the isha. That equals yud hey, which is a remez to the Shem Hashem. And that means that the Shechina is with them. But lo zochu, if they don't have ne'emanut between them, then eish ochalatam, then they will be destroyed by their very own realities. Because if you take yud and hey out, then you're going to be destroying that marriage with the anger that's constantly going to be there. So the moment that you have an Adam that gets split into an Ish and an Isha, he has either the Shechina with him or he is busted. Omar Rava, you should know that the Ish of the woman is much worse than the Ish of a male. Because I mitzarev, the woman is spelt Aleph Shin Hey, which spells Eish with a Hey. Masha Inkain, the Eish of the male, has a yud in the middle. So at least it isn't automatically read as an, remember we say Ishel Hashem. It's like the same letters as Isha. So basically what we're talking about is a woman's anger and destruction is right up there on top. And the male, it's not mitzraf, so it's not as terrible a fire when you bring in domestic problems into the name. Omar Rava, mipnei ma amra Torah ve afar lesota. Why does the Torah specifically say to add dirt? How does that get in there? Because it's coming to tell me. If she is zaycha, we're going to see the amazing thing that a sota comes out better than if she had never been nisteret, if she ends up not sleeping with the guy and drinks the mayim ha'maorim, so her whole matzav improves, and she is zoicha to different levels of children and different levels of reproductive success and ease of reproduction. So therefore it's merames. If she was zoicha, yotze mimena ben ka'avram avinu, because by Avram Avinu it says, Anochi Afar Va'efer. But Lo Zachta, then she will die. And Tachzor La'afra, she'll go back to the dust from which she was created. Dorash Rava, beginning to Avram Avinu, who said, Anochi Afar Va'efer. Bishar Shamar Avram Avinu, Anochi Afar Va'efer, Zochu Badav Shnei Mitzvot. Efer Para, and Afar Sota. But what about the din of the offer of Kisui Hadam? How about that? Why did we only say two mitzvot if there were three mitzvot? No. We're talking about being zoche to something, not to be zocha to the mitzvah, but to be zocha to something through the mitzvah. The din of the offer that is there for kisi adam, that is that you get the pleasure of a mitzvah, but a mitzvah per se is not lahana'ah. There's no hana'ah to that mitzvah. Masha inkein, the other mitzvahs, you have real hana'ah from. If you have the din of the soita, so then that means that you're able to restore your domestic relations because of this mitzvah. And if you have the mitzvah of the Par Aduma, obviously it means you're able to become Torah from Tumas Meis, you can eat Kachim, and so on and so forth. That's a tremendous advantage that you've gained. Masha Einkein, the fact that you have the mitzvah to cover Bakisu Adam, it's a mitzvah, it's wonderful to have a mitzvah, but I'm not going to call that Bizchar, therefore they were given this Hana'ah. That's not Hana'ah, it's a Hechsher mitzvah. Dorash Rova is another thing that just the words of Avram Avinu changed the way that Klal Yisrael has mitzvahs. Bizchar Shamar Avram Avinu, when the Melech of Sodom offered him the money, Arachush Kachlach, he said, I swear I wouldn't take from you Michut Vatzroch Nal. I wouldn't take from you threads or shoelaces. Zochu Banav L'shtei Mitzvot. Chut Shal Techelet, Uretzu'ah Shal Tefili. Now, if we understand that the meaning of Zochu Banav has to mean not to the mitzvah per se, because we're referring to over here, Bishar, that they get a Hana'ah, then you need to explain to me, what exactly is the Hana'ah of the Chut Shal Techelet and Retzu'ah Shal Tefillin? I understand the Retzu'ah Shal Tefillin. The Retzu'ah Shal Tefillin is definitely a big Hana'ah. Why? Because it says, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. And we learned, remember, that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, that this refers to Tefillin Sheberosh, that are put on with these Retzu'ahs, and it has in the actual Shem Hashem of the Shin and the Dalet and the Yud is in the Ritzuos. So including the Ritzuos. So because of that, yes, because Avram Avinu said that, so we're zeicha to the fact that when I walk down the street and someone sees me, they are seized by awe-inspiring sense of what a Jew is, that he can wear it to fill it. That is a tremendous hana'ah. But Chut Shel Techelet? I mean, what exactly do I gain personally from wearing a Chut Shel Techelet? Titania, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, Ma Nishtana Techelet Mikol Minei Tzivonim? What's so special about Techelet particularly? Mipnei Shatechelet Domeh L'Yam. The Yam is Domeh L'Rakia. The Rakia is Domeh L'Kisei HaKavod. How do we know? Because it says, Vayir'u et Elohei Yisrael, V'tachat raglav, kimaaseh livnat ha-sapir, uche'etzem ha-shamayim le-toar. So it says it's like the actual sky, the toar, which means that that is similar to sapir. And sapir is similar to that color. It's a bluish stone. And it says, kimarei even sapir demut kiseh. So then that means that the kiseh ha-kovet is like sapir. And the Toyar Harakia, therefore, if we're wearing Techelet, it means that we are zeiche to an awareness of the Shechina. That's the point. And so if that's the case, he even learns Uritemoto is not a reference to the Chut. Uritemoto is that you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're seeing the Kisei HaKavod, Kiviyoch. And therefore, that's a tremendous Hana'ah to be able to live in a state of such Hashifas. Now that brings us to the words of our far-seeing Capitan who rides the blue of the sea and remembers always the color of the Techelet that's on his tzitzit. Speak to us, O Capitan. How exactly does the Kohen write the Seita Megillah? Well, he does not write on a luach. He can't write it on a piece of wood. He can't write it on paper. Of course, in those days, it was more like papyrus than paper. Velo ala diftera. And he can't write it on diphtera, which is cloth that hasn't gone through all of the stages of ibud, which makes it smooth and so on, which includes melicha, and then it's kamicha. You have to put on a flower, and then you use also the gallnuts. Here you left out the gallnuts. So it's semi-finished. But that's not called sefer, where we learn out elsewhere that sefer includes all three steps of cloth. Ve'ino kotev, also, you cannot write with resin, lobakumas, which is tree resin, and you cannot write it with kankanton, ve'lo b'chol davar sheroshe. Okay, so kankanton, it's a different shitas about cupric sulfate, ferric sulfate, or anything else that is going to be absorbed into the cloth, or into the diphtera, into the cloth that you're writing on, because then you can erase it. So if it's roshem insi, if it's like written with something that will melt in the water, fine. So if it's written just with the dyo elements, but not with something that actually goes into the cloth, so then when you put it in water, the whole thing will be erased. And then you'll be makayim umacha, because it's what it says that he has to do. He has to be mocher the Megillah in the Mayim HaMa'ororim. That means that the original ktav has to be the type of ktav that is erasable. And so Memela, those things are going to be non-mechikable, so to speak. Fine. That doesn't mean that they last forever, by the way, because then it would be a steer at other sugyas. It just means that putting them in water is not what's going to cause them to disappear. They can gradually disappear stone because they're not as indelible, but they're not erasable in water. Omar Rava, Megillat Sota Shekitava Balayla Psula. You cannot write the Saita's Megillah at night. Why? Because we learn out the word Torah. Torah is Gzereshava. Ktiva Chavia Sola Kainet Kola Torah Zot. So the whole story of the Saita is called the whole Torah. Uchtiva Tamapia Torah Sher Yerucha. The Alamishpat. So you see that the din of the Lishkas Hagozis, over there it talks about Apia Torah Sher Yerucha, is compared to Mishpat. And we know that Mishpat is only Biyom. How do we know that Mishpat is only Biyom? So Rashi learns that it's from the Pasuk of Vaya Biyom Anchilo et Banav, which is actually the Pasuk that the Gemara brings to teach me that the dinim of Momenes are only Biyom. But Tosfos Tainas, that's not enough here. Because when the Saita is possible because of Alpia Torah, it means that even the Gemardin of the Saita, the last stage, is also possible if it's done at night. Mashenkein Dinim Momenes, if you began in the day, you're allowed to complete them at night. So because of that, Tosfos understands that this is actually compared to Dine Misa. Dine Misa is the Hokanum La Hashem, which over there, it's the Shemesh. That's been the light of the day. So, Ma Mishpat Bayom, Af Megillah Sotam Bayom. Another thing is that if you wrote the Parshas Seita out of order, Kitaval Mafreya, it's Psula. Again, it's fascinating because Rashi writes over here, writing it Limafreya means literally writing backwards, which is weird, that he writes the Pasuk, Yorech v'an p'o beten l'tzpot. It's like, really? Which the Achronim Taina shouldn't be considered to be ksav at all. I mean, you're not writing it normally. L'mafreya means that you put one Pasuk before the other by kriyash, by the kriya l'mafreya, reading one parsha before the other. But to actually reverse the words in the Pasuk, why would he say that that's the only case that's called l'mafreya? But anyway, why would it be Pasuk? Tichtive katava ta'olot ha'ele. Ha'ele means the way that they are written. Kamo dichtiva. Another din is that kitava kodem shetkabela la'ashvua psula. You can't write the Megillah Saita before she actually said amen v'amen. Because it says vishbia koinota, and then after those four psukim, it says the word vishbia, and then vikatav. Ketava igeret, another thing. is that if you wrote it as a nigeret, what's a nigeret? That it's written without sirtut, so that it's just like you're writing it loose hand. That's also pasul. Why? Because the Torah says, basefer. And we learn out, therefore, it has to be like the Sefer Torah, which has to be misurtat. Therefore, if it's not sirtut, it's pasul. Another thing, all of these are the lishonis that Rava said, Ketaval shnei dapin, if you wrote it on two pages, it's psula. Again, we have a machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos. Does that mean on two literal pages, like Tosfos learns? Or does it mean in two columns, even though it's mechuber, that it would be possible, which is how Rashi learns? So why do we say this? Because Sefer Echad Omer Rachmana, it says v'katav b'sefer, and sefer is a single piece. Number six, katav otachak machak otachak. Suppose the Kohen writes the sefer in its entirety, but he writes a letter at a time, and he does the mechika of a letter at a time. So basically, he did write the entire thing, and he was mochek the entire thing. So katav otachat umachak otachat, katav another otachat umachak otachat, and he keeps going like that until he finishes. It's psula. Why? The asala okein et kol hatorah hazot. So kol hatorah hazot means it has to all be there at one time in order to do the mechika. Now the question is, what would be the, so that's given, says Rava, but I do have questions. What would be if you wrote Shtei Megillot for two separate sotot, each one of them was written Lishma. That's the Va'asala. La means Lishma. And the problem is that you took these two Megillot that were written Lishma, but you did the Mechika into one cup of Mayim HaMa'or. So now, would that be good enough? Ma. Is the pshat over here, the law, is only a din in the ktiva? So if it's a din in the ktiva, I have that. Ktiva lishma be'inan v'ayika. I wrote it, lishma. And now I erased it, so fine. The erasure is generic, intergeneric water, but maybe that doesn't require lishma. Odioma be'inan ami mechika lishma. Or do we understand the v'asal la hakohen, which is la lishma, is the entire asiya? Maybe it includes not only the ktiva, but maybe the machak as well. So what would be the din about that? Do we need mechika lishma? That means that it should be nikar, that this is a special mechika for her. Or can the mechika be generic? Another shaila is like this. If you're going to tell me that actually you do need mechika lishma. So suppose you did mechika lishma. You did the ksiva lishma, you did the mechika lishma, in two separate kosot, but then you went ahead and you mixed the two kosot. That's the question. So now the issue is, when the Torah says you have to do all of this, does that mean it's the preparation of it? Or is it actually that since I'm telling you how to prepare it, it means you're preparing that which is what she is going to drink? So that would mean that at the point that she's drinking it, it also still all needs to be drinking that which was prepared lishma. So therefore, if I did a mechika, and I did everything the ketiva, and then I went ahead and I mixed the water together. So now I took the two cups, which was all done lishma. What would be the din then? Does she need to drink specifically all of those things in a separate cup? So if it's a question of needing siva and mechika lishma, that I do have. Odilma, or is there another point that this entire preparation is for her to actually have that, which was the rest of lishma? And over here, each one of them is not drinking entirely her own thing. Halav dida kashatya, the halav dida kashatya. So what about that? Furthermore, I would like to know, says Rava, let's say that we assume halav dida kashatya, the halav dida kashatya. What about if, after I went ahead, did the ktiva lishma, did the mechika lishma, mixed the two cups, I then go and pour half of the cup into one cup and half of the cup into another cup. So now each one of them has their own separate cup. What's the din over there? Mahu. Do we say Yesh Breira, or do we say Ein Breira? Now, Tosfos learns that this does not mean Breira the way Breira normally is used. Why? Because Breira means that I'm finding out what was initially the intent, right? So in other words, let's say we say that we have the brothers that didn't, they don't first split. They, each one of them gets the half of what it is that the Yerusha is. And it's the same types. So let's say the cattle, they split the cattle. The fields, they split the fields. So then is that considered to be mivurar? And that this was meant to be his all the time? Or is it considered to be a split, in which case, of course, it would go back during Yovel de Karka, because we don't know which one was which. Okay, there you could say Breira, because it wasn't first determined. But in this case, you're telling me I did the Mechika Lishma, which means that I know originally which of the two cups. Now, if I put those two cups together, I can't arbitrarily say, okay, now let's split it, and voila, we have magic, and each one is going to go back into its own separate cup. I mean, if you could do that, that would be great. Suppose I have a little bit of chazer that got mixed up with a little bit of kosher meat. All I need to do, if I hold up Yesh Breira, is I take a little bit out and say, okay, here's the chazer. I take the other part out and say, here's the kosher meat. I mean, whoever heard of saying Breira in those cases? So therefore, Tosfos says, it's just using the term Breira, meaning, do I need for there to be an actual working out that she has her own stuff all along? Or is the point that each one of these stages should be done la, including the giving her a special cup? But once we were mochik, the Megillah, there's no longer meaning to the specific tav that's hers. So each one of these stages basically already subsumes the previous stage. So I did the Ktiva Lishma. Thank you very much. That's done. Now, what are you doing? Mechika. Fine. Okay, did the Mechika Lishma. That's done. Everything's good. I had the two separate cups. Now, what do you want to do? You want to give each one of them a separate cup to drink? That should be law. Okay, fine. I'm giving her a separate cup to drink. But why in the world would I necessarily think that in that separate cup, I have to have specifically the things that are no longer meaningful to me, because there is no specific place where there's ksav. That's how Tosfos understands it. Teku. That, all of these questions, we don't know.